12. Philip materialized in Britt the Elder's home and found her sitting at the exact same Macintosh he'd left Britt the Younger sitting at before, although now it was an even darker shade of yellow.
How are your feet?
The same, and it's spread up my calves.
Sorry to hear that.
Look, I'm happy to help you, Philip said, but I must say I really don't like lying to Britt about it.
It's only lying if you tell her something that's not true. I suggest you don't tell her anything at all unless she asks.
So you want me to act aloof and mysterious?
Is it worse than being dishonest?
Either way, if she ever finds out that I'm sneaking around behind her back, especially to go meet with you, I'm afraid it'll be the end of my relationship.
Britt the Elder stood up. I know. I've given that some thought. We need to move our activities somewhere other than Atlantis. Even though we're staying holed up in my home, there's still too much of a chance that we'll slip up and tip our hand. We need to go somewhere there are resources and people who can help us, but where nobody would think to look for us.
I assume you have a place in mind?
Of course. Come along, I'll show you. Britt the Elder put her left hand on Philip's shoulder, then, with her right, swiped through several menus in a floating interface that only she could see, and made a selection. Britt the Elder's home faded away, replaced by a single unkempt room. Unpainted, unplastered sheetrock lined the walls, and thin, well-worn carpeting covered what felt like a concrete slab floor with no carpet padding. In one corner, two folding lawn chairs flanked a card table with a bent leg. The opposite corner was filled with a set of bunk beds, made from unfinished 2x4s and sheets of splintery plywood. Philip inhaled and instantly regretted it. He reeled as his lungs struggled to separate what usable oxygen it could from the combined aromas of pipe smoke, fish guts, and stale body odor.
"Where are we?" he gasped.
"A hunting shack in Alaska, 1984. She had to speak up to be heard over the wind rushing through the forest outside. Philip rushed to the window, but all he saw through it was trees and snow. He opened the window, hoping to get some fresh air, which he did. Fresh, freezing cold air. The offensive smell of the cabin flushed out of his nasal cavity, replaced by the searing pain of an instant brain freeze. He tried to slam the window closed, but the ancient and ill-maintained sash jammed in the frame and only came unstuck with great effort. Britt the Elder said, "I bought the shack and all of the land in a 10-mile radius from two guys who called themselves Pinky and Spud. I put up force fields so that nobody can get anywhere near here, even if they had any reason to want to, which they don't." Once he'd wrestled the window closed, Philip inhaled again, grimacing. He looked around the interior of the shack a second time.
"When you said we were going somewhere with resources, this isn't what I pictured."
"This isn't our final destination, just a way station. We're going to the year 2018.
"I can't," Philip said. "I'm from 1986, and we can only travel forward in time as far as the latest point we've already been to."
"Yes, I know. Please come here." Philip stepped away from the window toward the middle of the room.
"The only way to go any further ahead is to go back to your original time and let history flow forward on its own. That's why we aren't all visiting the future all the time."
Britt the Elder said, "Yes, I know all of that. We all know that. We know it so well that we never bother to question it or try to think of a way around it."
"A way around it? Like what?"
Britt smiled. "Like this." She placed a hand on Philip's forehead and swiped her other hand through a floating menu only she could see. Britt the Elder disappeared before Philip's eyes, but he barely noticed. The sound of the weather in the forest outside rose sharply in pitch, climbing out of audible range and into a zone on the edge of his perception, where he experienced them as a sort of tickling deep in his ear canals instead of his sounds. The light coming in through the windows stuttered and strobed, almost like a steady beat, but with flashes of differing intensities and durations. They came so quickly, almost heaping on top of each other in an unpredictable manner, that Philip feared they might cause some sort of seizure, if he wasn't having one already. Every inch of Philip's skin tingled. He felt as if he was burning, or freezing, or both, in rapid succession, over and over again. The feeling would have been overwhelming on its own, blotting out all capacity for thought. When combined with the assaults on his eyes and ears as well, it was a set of sensations that went beyond the mere pleasant or unpleasant. He was incapable of processing the experience. His brain could only note it and hope to make sense of it at some other time. Later, he would describe it as being like the Stargate sequence from 2001 A Space Odyssey, only much faster and not stupefyingly boring. The entire ordeal took 10 seconds, then it was over. Philip blinked at the steady stream of grayish light streaming in the window. He noted that the wind seemed quieter than it had before. He removed his hands from his ears, and the sound grew a bit louder. He became aware that he was standing on his left foot with his right leg drawn up toward his chest. Both of his arms were pulled into his sides, and his shoulders were hunched over in a sort of full-body cringe. Philip was most grateful that his skin seemed back to normal. He looked at the backs of his hands and found them obscured by a thick layer of dust and draped with multiple layers of cobwebs. Philip shrieked, jumped, flapped his arms, and hopped around the room, flailing his every extremity in an attempt to shake off as much of the dust and as many of the spiderwebs as possible. After 2 high-speed laps of the room, he stopped, instead hopping in place and brushing the mess off of his limbs as fast as he could, until he finally stood, panting and still filthy, in a cloud of the discarded debris that floated in the still air, much of which just settled back on him anyway. Britt the Elder appeared in the center of the room, where she'd been before Philip's brief ordeal.
"Welcome to the year 2018. As you may have figured out, I slowed down your perception of time so that 34 years passed in what felt to you like 10 seconds.
Philip looked at her with an expression of mingled anger and betrayal, but could only manage to make a sort of plaintive moan. Britt the Elder nodded and looked at the floor.
"Yes, I know.
The experience is surprisingly traumatic, isn't it? I'm sorry about that. I went through the same thing when I had to leap from my time, 1996, to now. Lord knows what all I missed. I can tell you, jumping from 1984 like you did, you missed Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, and Freakazoid."
"Coulda warned me,"
Philip grunted.
"Philip, dear, do you really think anticipating that would have made it any more pleasant?"
"You could have sent me in my sleep."
"And you really believe you would have slept through it? You'd have woken up terrified. No, this was the best way, and it's over now. You're in the future. We can move on to our actual destination."
She reached out to take Philip's arm, then, looking at the dust and tattered cobwebs covering his sleeve, thought better of it. She touched him gingerly with one finger and initiated another teleport. The flat gray light and musty air of the hunting shack gave way to the fluorescent light and overly conditioned air of a public servant's office. Philip blinked repeatedly as he saw Britt the Elder still standing beside him, and another Britt standing in front of the desk in a sharp, exquisitely tailored black pantsuit.
"Philip," Britt the Much Elder said. "Hey, welcome. Good to see you."
She took a moment to look Philip over from head to toe, then turned to Britt the Elder and said,
"Though I wish I were seeing him a little cleaner." "He was much dirtier than this before," Britt the Elder said. "He was literally standing in a cloud, like Pigpen."
Philip said,
"I'm sorry. I don't think we've been introduced. I mean, I know we've met, in a sense. You're Britt, obviously, but you're not Britt the Elder, and you're not Britt the Younger."
Britt the Much Elder's smile recharged, but she shook her head.
"I am Britt the Younger, and I'm Britt the Elder. We're all the same, like you know, the same person, even if you don't want to admit it. But in a way, you're right. I'm not your Britt the Younger. I can't be. She doesn't know anything about any of this. Does she?"
"Philip, please tell me you haven't told her about any of this."
"I haven't, I promise. But I have to say I wasn't happy about it before, and am even less so now that I see you both. I mean, you tell me that I can't tell her because she's another you, and it turns out you already told another you."
Britt the Elder said, "Yes, but that just makes it all the more dangerous for you to tell a third of me." Philip shook his head.
"I don't like lying to her."
"We know," Britt the Much Elder said, "and we don't like the idea of you lying to her either. We are both her, after all. But if it's any consolation, we've forgiven you."
"Yes," Britt the Elder said. "Now, I think it'd be a good idea if we showed Philip to our workspace."
"Yeah, I think so," Britt the Much Elder said. "See you there." Britt the Elder disappeared. Britt the Much Elder started for the door, then paused, looking at Philip.
We're about to go out in front of people from the 21st century. The wizard get-up might freak them out a bit.
Philip removed his dusty, cobweb-covered robe and hat and draped them over the back of a chair. He leaned his staff against the side of the desk as well, and turned to face Britt the Much Elder in what he usually wore under his robe, his Union Jack sneakers, a pair of jeans and a black t-shirt bearing a picture of a dark red customized hot rod, and the words ZZ Top, Eliminator. He looked down at himself and asked,
"Will this work?"
Britt the Much Elder smiled.
"Sure. Every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed man.
Shall we?" She opened the door and beckoned Philip to follow her. The instant they left her office and entered the view of her underlings, Britt the Much Elder's entire demeanor changed. She took on an air of frosty competence, as if she would judge you for the slightest error and would do a much more professional, efficient job of judging you than anyone else could. They walked past a desk where a man in his late 20s, wearing an inexpensive suit that fit poorly in all the wrong places, said,
"Director Ryan, you have an appointment in 10 minutes. Should I tell them you'll be delayed?"
She didn't bother to look back as she answered,
"No, Robbins. I should be back well before then."
They entered a large rectangular room with a small forest of pillars, seemingly supporting the low acoustic tile ceiling and fluorescent lights. Cubicle walls chopped the space up into a grid. The communal sound of people shuffling papers, muttering softly, and generally trying to be quiet filled the air.
"What do you do here?"
Philip asked.
"I run a task force for the Department of Justice. We monitor and investigate all of the various cases that the FBI, the CIA, and various state and local law enforcement agencies deem too inexplicable, unlikely, or just plain stupid for them to sully their hands with. Aliens. Bigfoot sightings?" She turned and arched an eyebrow at Philip.
"Reports of people with magical powers. Claims of time travelers. That sort of thing."
"How'd you get this job?"
Philip asked, trying to hide the genuine interest and enthusiasm in his voice. As the person in charge of investigating magic and time travel, she was in a perfect position to prevent the exposure of people like her.
"I worked my way up, then volunteered for this posting. Most of the other bureaucrats at my level consider this place career suicide. They don't like the idea of having their resume include several years spent trying to prove the unprovable. I wanted the job, though. I have an affinity for this stuff, as you might imagine. Unfortunately, we've yet to come up with any concrete evidence to prove anything because, as we know, magic and time travel don't exist."
She turned and winked at Philip. Before Philip could respond, a woman in a beige business suit approached and matched speed with Britt the Much Elder.
"Director Ryan, thank you for talking to them personally, but my field team still wants to move on their target."
Britt the Much Elder shook her head.
"I know they do. I've spoken to them personally about it."
"Sorry, ma'am.
Not your fault, Saunders. You tell them that we'll contact them if their orders change. Until that happens, they're to hold tight and just observe. I know that the subject played them for fools, and they want payback. But just because they made a mistake before, that doesn't mean they should be hasty and make another mistake now."
"Yes, ma'am. Do you want me to tell them the part about them getting played for fools and making mistakes?"
"If you're talking to Miller, yes. If it's Murphy, be kinder about it. That poor man puts up with enough as it is."
"Yes, ma'am."
The woman in the beige suit sped away. Britt the Much Elder glanced back at Philip again.
"Sorry about that. Business. You understand. Anyway, I've set you up a workspace in a vacant office right over here."
She held the door open and directed Philip to enter. Inside, Philip found 2 desks, 2 beat-up rolling office chairs, and 2 equally beat-up office-grade PC workstations. Britt the Much Elder closed and locked the office door behind herself. A few seconds later, Britt the Elder materialized, wearing her Ugg boots and the same crisp black suit Britt the Much Elder had on.
"You look very nice," Britt the Much Elder said.
"I'm not surprised you think so," Britt the Elder replied.
"When did you borrow my suit?"
"Yesterday."
"Of course. Wait, I had it laundered last week. That me—" "Ew, I'm wearing your dirty clothes."
"That's right." Britt the Much Elder shuddered in revulsion.
"I know we're the same person, but still, ew."
Britt the Elder said,
"Yeah, I feel the same way." "Yeah, I know. Okay, I've got a meeting in 5, then I'm going home to take a long bath.
You two should be fine here. I'm locking the door, and I have the only key, so you won't be disturbed. Britt, if someone does get a glimpse of you, just snarl at them until they run for it. With that, Britt the Much Elder disappeared.
So,
Philip asked,
what are we going to do?
Exactly what she said. Research, to start with. The Atlantis interface keeps a record of any time someone uses it to perform magic. I've downloaded the last 20 years' worth of logs, millions of lines of it. The task force has access to some advanced search tools. You're going to use those tools to look for anything that might be an anomaly, anything that looks like part of the glitch, or might have caused it.
Okay. And you?
Britt the Elder said. I'll be going through every daily journal entry Britt the Younger has written up until this point, looking for any clues as to what went wrong and when. Philip blinked at Britt the Elder.
Britt the Younger keeps a journal?
Religiously.
Is it detailed?
Obsessively.
She never told me.
Obviously.
Does she talk about me in them?
Extensively.
Well, then, if there are that many journal entries, maybe it would be faster if we both go through the journals. Then if we don't find anything, we can move on to the logs.
No, I'll handle the journals. You'll stick to the logs. When you're done with the last 20 years, I'll give you the 20 before.
But I just think it'd be better if we both look through the journals. I might see something you don't.
Maybe, Britt the Elder said. But you'd see everything that's written in the journals, and none of us want that.
I do.
I wasn't talking about you. When I said us, I meant me and the other two Brits.